Are you interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all. We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to The Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.
And weight loss with Iveem, the top prescriber of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveem makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveem. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Officially down 120 pounds.
I am down 34 pounds.
Food cravings have subsided. I'm feeling amazing in my clothes.
I'm feeling better. I feel like I have more energy.
The process is a breeze. I can message my doctor at any time, and the entire prescription and medication was sent right to my door. Weight Care has helped over 15,000 people lose weight. Join them today and get $150 off your first month. Book your appointment at joinweightcare.com.
Change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
Have any trouble navigating coping skills in your life where you use food, alcohol, or other drugs, shopping, gambling, sex, or if you are obese and you're wondering what medical solutions are available to you, or if you have children that are overweight and you're wondering what to do about it, I highly recommend that you listen to my new podcast, The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey. I've lost 165 pounds over the last 16 months, and it's been an emotional journey more than anything. Easy Way Out started as a podcast about whether or not I should have weight loss surgery to handle my chronic obesity, but it ended up in places I did not expect. My personal favorite episode is Shut Up Fatty, and it's with my daughter and my son, who are now adults, and we covered what it was like for them to grow up in a fat family and how I handled the fact that they were overweight and what I could have done better as their mom. You'll be tearing up one second and cracking up the next. You can find The Easy Way Out with Dr. Joy Bracey anywhere you listen.
Welcome to the Plus Sides Podcast. Look, it's four. It's four today. That's a lot of people.
I love
it. It's gonna be a party today.
Yes. Lydia, we'll have a lot of editing to do for when we talk over each other and drive people crazy.
I will try my best.
That's
okay. I got a towel under the door in my hotel just so they don't get too loud.
What did you say?
I have a towel under the door in my hotel room just so I don't get too loud in the hallway.
Oh, well, good luck.
Like this is serendipitous. One of the biggest people we had was Rosie. Kat was in a hotel. Very special guest today. Kat's in a hotel.
Yes.
She's still in the United States this time.
Oh, and then when we had on Dr. Contessa, and Kat was in the rain, like in a horrible rainstorm.
My internet took,
and we totally lost her.
A restroom break.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
you did get to be there when I interviewed Tawanda Braxton.
Yes,
because we were in Atlanta, so that was fun.
In person.
And now you're here today. So huzzah! Let's get loud and change things, ladies. We have two special guests today. So if you guys are here, you probably know who we are, but we'll do a quick round robin just so you have a general idea. My name is Kim. This is the Plus Sides Podcast, where we are trying to bring light, shed light, have advocacy and education around GLP-1 medications and how they treat your health and how weight loss follows because they're treating your health. Okay. Mm-hmm. How it helps people of all different shapes and sizes, how you can't see food noise just because someone looks skinny or someone looks fat. And you got to quit doing stuff like that because there's actually science and reasons behind all of this. I've lost 100 pounds. I've taken like all the GLPs in the land because of shortage and step therapy and all the things. I've also had lap band surgery. I've struggled with childhood obesity since I was 8. And this has completely changed my life. And as soon as I felt better and I met other people and realized that I was not alone, that it wasn't my fault. And cause science, I couldn't stop talking about it. And I became a GLP-1 evangelist. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And I made this podcast so that we could all be together. So
first ladies.
Yes. And so we're getting loud and we're going to change things. Okay. We're going to try to do what we can. And we're trying to annoy as many people as possible to try to see what we can do. But at bare minimum, the things that have been changing are people sending us messages saying that they're hearing us talk and that just hearing it is allowing them to unwind a lot of shame, right, that they have and have dealt with for all of these years, and that this is helping them heal and then helping them go on this journey and grow because they know it's not their fault because science. Okay. So that's who I am. What about you, Kat? Who are you? Why are you here? What are you doing?
I am Kat Carter. I am coming to you from the huge grand city of Thunder Bay, Canada. I'm in the middle of my North Shore vacation to get away from Georgia pollen. So I decided to fly north and get into the cold. And you know what? If extra sass the demons, I can breathe again.
Look, this house is clear.
You excise them so much that she's staying in a haunted hotel.
I know. Yeah. So I decided
she's going to leave her demons behind.
Literally.
I decided at 10 o'clock last night to look up, hey, what did this hotel look like when it was first built? And it was like haunted. I was like, oh, Jesus. So needless to say, I'm on a lot of coffee. Gosh. I didn't sleep that much.
Yeah.
And I slept with the light on.
Well, you know, so that's whatever it takes.
Okay.
But in any case, I have lost 70 pounds using Mounjaro.
Mounjaro. The Mounjaro.
Western Canada.
Yeah.
And suffered with binge eating disorder. Mounjaro. It right has helped alleviate my food obsession. I still like to have a cake, a slice of cake. But Mounjaro says stop sign. And
I was going to say a whole cake.
I mean, sure, we all like one.
She meant a little cake.
She meant like a cupcake.
I've been having s'mores lately because it's been nice and cold and toasty up here. But anyway, Mounjaro gives me the stop sign. Yep. So much better. It's very efficient. It's great.
Sure. Awesome. Thank you, Kat. Hey, JT, who are you? What you doing? Why are you here? What's up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
JT, and medically, I have almost all the things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of bad that when your doctor says that, I'm like, thanks. Mm. Thanks a lot. But yeah, I use Mounjaro.
And older than Jill. Oh yeah, you know.
While we're in Canada,
So look, I used the Jiro, and I suffered from late in life obesity, pretty much like pre-perimenopause, premenopause, all of that. Mm-hmm. Type 2 diabetes. I'm a type 2 diabetic. And
no, you have type 2 diabetes. We're learning. We're saying it different now. We're saying it different.
So I have the diabetes.
The diabetes.
And I have an autoimmune called Sjogren's. And it affects all your entire body. So, but Mount Jiro has helped in so many ways, and it's helped my mental also. So
nice.
That's love why it. I'm here. Yeah.
We're glad to have you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lydia. Why are you here? Who are you? What are you doing? What's going on?
So I'm Lydia. You guys know that. If you follow the plus size on TikTok, you hear my voice all the time. Hey, plus size community, come check us out. That's me.
Check us out.
So I am on the team in the capacity as the content editor. So all those beautiful videos that you guys see come across. Gorgeous. That's me. Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I'm also the social media manager. And I'm not afraid to say I'm like the biggest fan of the person we're having on today. So here I am because hello.
I love it.
So I have been on a GLP journey actually since 2021. I started on Ozempic. Ozempic did great. It got the hill going back down where it wouldn't stop climbing previously. And then switched to Mounjaro in, let's see, it was at 2022. Mm-hmm. And ever since I switched to Mounjaro, my PCOS symptoms have, I'm diagnosed PCOS, I have no thyroid. My PCOS symptoms have been on the money. My insulin resistance is in control. My A1C is down. I'm more healthy. I'm able to move my body. I'm able to live my life, guys. Yeah. Like I got my life back.
And still have Girl Scout cookies.
And still have Girl Scout cookies. Without. That's right. Instead of a whole sleeve, I have like five. Sure. At a time.
At a time.
I can't do that. I used to be able to house a whole box. I don't know who you can. Listen,
girl. Right.
Listen, back in the day. I
can't do that yet, Lydia.
Back in the day, my mom would buy a whole case of Thin Mints, okay? And they would go in the deep freezer. Oh, and when, like, back in the day, I would go to the deep freezer, grab a sleeve, and it was nothing for me to, like,
same season.
Watch a certain show on Bravo TV and eat a whole sleeve of Thin Mints. Okay.
Look,
nothing like Bravo and Thin Mints.
I know.
I wonder what show you're referring to.
I don't know. I guess we'll talk about it.
Perfect segue. Thank you, social media manager extraordinaire.
You got it.
Let's invite in our guest. Hey, Lauren.
Hi.
Hey, Lauren.
How are you? We're good. We're so glad to have you. Thanks for listening to us run our mouths a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I feel like I'm in a chat with all my friends. It's like everyone's
you are. It's official.
Chatting away. So you guys are going to be stuck with me.
Yes. Well, now you kind of know like what we do, you know, and what we're about. And we're so glad to have you here and honored for you to be our guest today.
Thank you.
And it really does help us. You know, not a lot of people want to write good things about these medicines. No. So it's really difficult to get people to pay attention. And even mm-hmm. with, I mean, it's been so helpful because I can't get the news to pick it up. Right. So it's been so helpful to have people like you come on the show and talk to us because one, we're the same. Mm-hmm. Like we struggle with the same type of things. And it's good for people to hear that. It's validating for people to hear that. And it really does help us. So mm-hmm. we appreciate you helping us get the word out there and contributing to the movement that we're trying to grow here.
No, thank you. It's nice to, cause I'm not very smart when it comes to I always say I'm very street smart, but I'm not book smart at all.
That's okay. So, I wasn't either.
You know, when it comes to things like this, I'm not educated and able to speak about it in a certain way. So it's nice to be able to tell people to just go to you and maybe they'll understand it a little bit more.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then hopefully even now today, because we will have a doctor join us, because that's usually how our show works. And then we can ask all the questions and you can share that with people who ask you too, you know, great. And I'll tag you in all the shorts and you can share them. It'll be great. Okay.
Yes.
All absolutely. Right. So the way we do things here is we're not like other media outlets, right? Where we try to like cut up everything you say. We think that they can take that and that's their thing, right? Here you get the space, mm-hmm. unfiltered, uncut. And you say what you want. You tell us your story and okay. whatever it is, you say it. There's nothing there. We like shake it up. The controversy is good here. Controversy, right. you know?
Sounds good to so, me. I'm most afraid of a controversy.
I know. So tell us a little bit about who you are, you know, and then if you can ease into, you know, your story with weight and with these medications, that would be great.
My name is obviously Lauren. I was on Bravo from the ages of pretty much all my 20s. Started it when I was 20 years old, we started filming, which is a very impressionable time for any young woman. And I was very overweight. And it's completely genetic for me. I mean, my mom's side of the family, definitely, you know, they struggle with their weight a little bit, but it's mostly my father's side. And I have my father's genes. You put a picture of me and my father next to each other. I'm a carbon copy of him in every single way. And he comes from, my father's big, he has lap bands still to this day. You know, all of my aunts, my cousins have had lap band and had to get it removed in an emergency surgery, just like I did. And my grandfather was very, very big. So it's just, it runs in my family, obesity. For me, I was on television with my two very handsome brothers, you know, that were at the time heartthrobs. And I was just, you know, looking back, especially, I was a mess. My mom, even though back then she was a little heavier on the show, people do, you know, accuse her as if it's a bad thing of being on a semaglutide. She's not. She, for the last, like, I would say like 6-7 years, she just started, she has, you know, the skinny jeans. So she just walks around her house. Literally that's what she does. And she lost all this weight. My mom was 90 pounds when she got married. She just is naturally skinny. So having a skinny mom and my skinny brothers and being out there on television, getting millions of views when Instagram and Twitter and all of that had just come out. And Bravo, whether it was producers or their PR person back then, would say, well, Lauren's not marketable. And my brothers and my mom would get to go on, like, you know, the Z100 morning show that I listened to every single day when I was a kid. They were invited on there, but I wasn't. And like the PR person didn't say like, oh, well, you don't get them if you don't bring Lauren on too. Like no one kind of had my back because Bravo was like, Lauren's not marketable because I wasn't pretty. I wasn't skinny. I was just kind of like a mess. It, to be honest, I don't know if I curse on here, but it really fucked with my mental health. And it stuck with me, and I still definitely am majorly affected by that. I remember seeing like producers' notes when we were on the show of it being like, well, Lauren looks like a beached whale and whatever, so she refuses to put on a wetsuit when we were going surfing one time we were on vacation. And you know, when you're around these beautiful women like, you know, Melissa Gorga and, you know, these housewives that all look great and they're 20 years older than you and they're wearing a wetsuit and they look amazing and you look like shit. Like, and you see a note like that, you know, they actually, my mom got so mad. She freaked out and they flew in a helicopter to get that producer out of there. Cause my mom was like, get her the fuck out. Like,
I am going to go full mama bear right now. Like F Andy Cohen. What the hell? That is not okay.
That wasn't Andy. To be fair, that wasn't Andy.
Producers, but oh my God.
That was because the producers, you know, they answer to Bravo. They work for Bravo, but they, you know, it's a production company, you know? And she wasn't necessarily calling me a beach whale, but it was more like, you know, there is like a scripted aspect to reality TV. So it was kind of like, before I even said it, I didn't want to put on a wetsuit. It was like, and Lauren doesn't want to put on a wetsuit because she feels like a beach whale. Like where they were just kind of like, and it was just rude, you know? And I had found, they had accidentally left that in like our trailer because we were on an RV trip and they had accidentally left it in there and I read it and it just like, I had a mental breakdown. It was actually on camera. I had a mental breakdown. And then that's when my mom and dad had to, because my dad had the lap band. They were like, listen, maybe you should really consider doing this surgery. And I said, you know what, when we go home, yeah, I will, because my mental health really was suffering. I did it. I was so happy. It was one of the best things I've ever done. I did start throwing up a lot because I was taking advantage of it. I knew, oh, great, I could still have this bite of food. You know, I always said I didn't have a lobotomy. I had a weight loss surgery. I still wanted food all the time. I don't understand how someone can offer. The only thing I don't like is sweets. You could put a full cake in front of me and I'm like, no, thanks. Like, I don't want it. I'll go for the super side and the prosciutto and the mozzarella with bread every second. All the food, like a steak, I'll take salty over sweet any day. But if you were to say like, hey, you want Taco Bell after we just ate like a huge dinner, I'll be like, hell yeah. You know, there is no such thing as me saying no to that. I never understood someone being like, I'm so full, I can't even imagine eating, and be like, yeah, let's go eat. Let's go do something. That's just what life was. And where people live, you know, people eat to live. I live to eat. Having the lap band didn't fix that for me. It did help to make me skinny, but I was also throwing up all the time. That was my fault. Because I knew which bite was going to make me throw up. And in a weird way, it made me like almost like I would call like involuntarily bulimic, where I was like, it's not my fault. I have a lap band, you know? But in my head, I was like, I'm just going to throw it up anyway, but they're going to say she's throwing up because she has a lap band. I wasn't forcing myself to throw up. It would just come up, but I knew that bite was going to make it come up. So I knew I was going to be able to enjoy that bite and then get the calories out. It's actually something that I've really never talked about before. But yeah, I mean, I guess in retrospect, it kind of was, I was allowing it to make me bulimic without me being bulimic. You know what I mean? And then I became a mom, and I remember I was drinking one day by the pool and I couldn't even swallow my own saliva. I was like, and I knew that my band had slipped and I was ignoring it because at the time I was skinny at the time, which was like maybe like 150, 160. And I had never, like, that was like the lowest I was really able to get back then. And I remember being like, my band definitely slipped, but don't say anything, but you know, you're suffering. I was literally like swallowing my saliva and like throwing up bile. And I said to myself, you know, you don't have to do this for you, but you're a mother. Like, you have to do this for your daughter. You need to call the doctor and let them know what's going on. Stop lying to the doctor. Stop telling them that you're fine. You're not fine. So I called and they said, let's get you an upper GI right away. I went, I got that done, and they were like, listen, you have a minor slip. Let's open the band all the way and let's hope that it goes back into place. It didn't go back into place. So I had to get surgery to get it taken out. A surgery that should have taken only, you know, 45 minutes to an hour took, I think it was 3 hours, because there was so much scar tissue wrapped around the band, pretty much keeping it like attached to my stomach. And I gained rapidly as soon as I took it out, which I knew would happen. So I had called my doctor, which is Dr. Trivedi. And I said to him, listen, I'm 208 pounds, which is the heaviest I've ever been in my life. When I had the lap band, I was 185 pounds. So now I had gained so much weight. And I said, I want to get the sleeve. And he said, no. He said, I don't think you're a good candidate for it. I think you should try to do what you can to lose it on your own. I don't want to do this. And he actually won't do the lap band surgery anymore. I know some of the doctors that work with him, I believe they still do it, but especially on women, I don't believe women should get the lap band surgery. I know a lot of men, my father included, that have it, and they've had great success still for, I think, probably going on 20 years now, my dad has had it. I think with women, our bodies just change so much, especially with, you know, our periods and stuff like that, that it's just, you know, with the bloating and this and that or whatever, I just don't think it's good for women. I'm sure Dr. Rosen can enlighten us a little bit on that, and he might tell me that I'm completely wrong. But yeah, I definitely would recommend the sleeve for women over the band. But anyway, Dr. Trivedi said to me, he said, I don't want you to do this. And I said, well, I'm going to pay out of pocket. I don't need to go with whatever. Like, I don't need you to try to go through insurance or anything like that. I'm going to pay out of pocket. I'm going to do it. So $20,000 later out of my own bank account, which I regret every day. I'm like, damn, I could really use that $20,000. If I had known about, you know, a semaglutide back then, but no one was talking about it. And I think Lydia had said earlier before I came on that you were on it since 2021. Ozempic, am I correct in that?
Yeah. Yeah, I went on Ozempic in 2021 for my insulin resistance. So my story, like my husband started
for insulin resistance. So it wasn't for weight loss yet. Got it. No, I heard you say that, I was like,
I mean, obviously, I was like, see, here's the big thing though that we talk about a lot though, is that once you get things like insulin resistance under control, the weight loss just follows, right? Like the weight loss is great, but like being healthy again is like, that's the prize, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's what, when I heard you say that, I was like, I could have been on this in 2021 and not done the sleeve, you know, and the sleeve, you know, it didn't, to be honest with you, Dr. Trivedi was right. It didn't do much for me. I know that I've heard from other people that have had the band before, especially for as long as I did, once they do the sleeve, it's not really as effective as it would be if, you know, for someone that's never had a weight loss surgery before. I lost 20 pounds from the sleeve, and that 20 pounds was for the 2 weeks after having it that you have to fast. You could literally only have like clear liquids. And that's what I lost my 20 pounds from. And I never lost a pound from the sleeve since. I don't feel restriction from it. Nothing. So I just said to myself, why is this so fucking hard? Like, why? Like, what? I knew that I wasn't losing weight unless I was eating grilled chicken and vegetables and like, that's it, with like nothing on it. And I noticed my stomach always hurt. It was always very bloated. So I went and I got a colonoscopy and an endoscopy, and they were like, you have IBS. And I'm like, that's not enough for me. You're not giving me a pill and saying that I have IBS. Am I allergic to gluten? Am I allergic to dairy? I know it's one of them. I was like, which is it? Because I'll give it up. But my stomach is always huge. Like when I tell you, it always looked like I was pregnant. We named it Timothy. My cousin, my mom and I, we started calling it Timothy. And then when I would lose weight, we would call it like Timmy. And then when I like really lost weight, we'd call it Tim. And then my cousin's like, oh, now it's just T. And now she's like, Timothy's dead. Timothy is completely dead. Timothy's not here anymore. And you know, that my stomach literally always looked pregnant, no matter how much weight I lost. It was just always so bloated. So I posted on my Instagram, I said, does anybody know a, gut health doctor? And I had so many comments of people saying, forget gut health, see a functional medicine doctor. What's functional medicine? Never heard of it in my life. So someone had said to me, there's this doctor in Franklin Lakes. I've never met him. I've only done, FaceTime with him. He is very expensive, especially for someone I've never met before. Doesn't take insurance or anything like that. But changed my life. I go and get blood work every 3 months. I had an extensive blood panel done with him. I had to do a stool test and everything I did at home. He sent me all the tests. I did everything at home, a stool test, urine sample, blood work, a breath test, which I didn't even know was a thing, a saliva test, which I didn't even know was a thing. And I had to do a 23andMe test for genetics to see like some people that I might be related to anywhere in the world that, and what genetic issues they may have that have also done 23andMe, to see like what I was at risk of or anything like that. And I do every 3 to 6 months, I do blood work with him again. And he goes over everything with me. He said to me, you have SIBO, you have leaky gut, you have all these things. We need to heal your gut. So he said, you are not celiac and you're not allergic to dairy, but you're intolerant to both. So you have to cut out gluten, you have to cut out dairy. And for the first, I think it was three to six months, something like that, I couldn't have eggs, potatoes, cucumbers, zucchini, most oils, soy, a lot of really basic things that were in my diet. So it's like, okay, I can't have, and I can't have like, he's like, you can't really have many gluten-free substitutes because those aren't necessarily good for you. You know, so like a gluten-free toast or bread or something like that, like just because it's gluten-free doesn't mean it's good for you. So if you're trying to lose weight, like that's not going to get you anywhere. So I was like, what do I have for breakfast? You know, it was, I really had to just change my whole life. And then after a while I was able to add eggs back in and stuff like that. I lost 50 pounds in less, about a year. about a year from being gluten and dairy free. About a year. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever done. I'm so happy. But now at this point I'm at, and the numbers are a little off. They're all over the place. I was 208. And then I was like, you know, going back and forth, bouncing everywhere. And I think I was about 106. I have a video that I recorded the day I started Mounjaro. And I was like, I'm doing this. I don't even know if I'm going to be open about this, about using this drug. Because actually my functional medicine doctor was like, listen, you're not losing any weight after this 50 pounds. You're 165 pounds. You still want to get healthy. I was going through a divorce. Stress was huge for me at this time. Oh my God, the stress was just, I think, a huge reason I wasn't losing as much as I should have also. And it was a secret. I wasn't telling anybody because, you know, my daughter didn't know and I didn't want it to get out or anything like that. So it wasn't a secret because I was ashamed or anything like that. You know, Vito and I are best friends and, you know, there was no issues there. It was just, you know, it was my private family issues and I was protecting my daughter. So we weren't saying anything. And that was a big stressor as well. So I was on all these vitamins with the doctor and he says to me, well, and he never prescribed me anything. It was always over the counter vitamins. And he said, well, I have this mixture of these pills. He's like, one's an antidepressant and one's something else. He's like, and it will help you to lose weight. And he's like, you know, you can go to a compound. He's like, but it's going to cost more money to do it with a compound pharmacy, whatever. He's like, then we could put them into one, but it's going to cost you a shit ton of money. Let's get you the mixture of these two pills. And I was like, I don't need an antidepressant. I don't want to go on them. I feel like it's a life sentence to go on them. I'm afraid of them. You know, I'd rather just, I go to therapy. I'd rather work out and figure my shit out on my own. And he's like, it's not for depression. It's to help you lose weight. Okay, I'll try it. When I tell you I took these pills, I have never been more depressed and I had postpartum depression. I was everything. I was in my bed and I was like, it was just dark. Like I just felt like I was literally under a giant rock. Like, and I've never felt so low in my entire life. I took the pills, I flushed them down the toilet, and I texted my pharmacist. She's a friend of mine. And I said to her, what the fuck did that doctor give me? And she was like, well, what? And I love my functional medicine doctor. So it's not like, you know, he just, you know, some things work. And by the way, I do spray tans for a living and I don't wear gloves. So that's why my hands are like this. You know, things work for some people and they don't work for others. And she was like, you know, why did he give you those things? And I said, well, to lose weight. And she said, have you ever considered Mounjaro? And I was like, what's Mounjaro? It sounds like a mountain. Like what is Mounjaro? Like, I've never heard of that before. So I'm like, what? And she's like, look it up on TikTok. So she said, it's the best of everything. And I was like, is it like Saxenda? Because years ago I had done Saxenda and it did nothing for me. I didn't even feel it working. And I was like, that shit doesn't work for me. I'm like, nothing works for me. She's like, this might work. So I contacted my bariatric surgeon. So I contacted my bariatric surgeon and I said, because it was hard for me. My functional medicine doctor wouldn't give it to me. I think my primary was weird about it. So I went to the bariatric surgeon and they were like, yeah, no problem. Like, we'll, you know, come in, we'll get you weighed, we'll do a whole check thing, whatever, and we'll get you on it. And it changed my life. I have never, I mean, people don't understand. People that aren't in our position, they don't understand. Food is literally an addiction. And also because, you know, it is genetic and growing up in a family where food is everything. I mean, my brothers are in the restaurant business. My father's in the restaurant business. You know, Vito's in the restaurant business. Like, you're surrounded by it and food is life to us. You know, like even my mom, just as we were starting the podcast, was like, hey, like, I'll meet you, Giuseppe's at 6 o'clock for dinner. Like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and we're talking about dinner. Like, that's just what we do. And I don't know how to describe it. You guys actually describe it a lot better than I do, but like to just have the weight fall off the way that it did, because my brain no longer was telling me you need to eat. When something triggered me stress-wise, that's the only thing I had to do, was I had to find something else to do when I was stressed. And I didn't want alcohol anymore. I drank a lot before before going on a semaglutide. And I know that there's studies linked to the fact that, like, what does this do to your brain that helps with addiction? Because food addiction is a real thing. And I still am addicted to food. I mean, when I try to skip a week of my shot or something, I'm like, what do we got? Like, I'll be out with like my brother and I'll be like, all right, what are we getting? Like, if I skip a week and he's like, what's going on with you? And I'm like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We'll start with this. And then we're going to get that. And then we're going to get this. And thank God I still am gluten and dairy free because I'm limited as to what I could have. But it helps with what I'm finding now that they're calling food noise. Because I still love food, you know, and it helps me. It, like I said, it's almost like I got that lobotomy that I was saying when I had the lap band, you know, I didn't have a lobotomy. I had stomach surgery. At this point, it's really, I think, helped me in my brain more than anything else. And my mental health is so much better. I feel I started this at 165 pounds. Like I said, I have a video that I haven't put out yet. I don't know how I'm going to put it out. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do it like a TikTok where it's like, I show myself taking the shot and then like show me taking the shot now, or just show what the results are. Cause in the video, I literally say, and I thought I looked good in the video. In the video, I was like, wow, like I'm 165 pounds now. I lost, you know, weight from 208. Like, I'm looking good. I feel good. I'm gluten and dairy free. Like, my face is slimmer. Everything looks better. I look back at that video and I'm like, wow, like, this is crazy. So I kind of was like, I look at that video of me taking the shot, and now I look at myself now and I'm like, wow, this shit really worked. It's really amazing. And we'll bring Dr. Rosen on because I know he only has 30 minutes, but not to hijack your podcast, but I don't want to take up too much of his time.
You're good.
No, you're totally fine. It's perfect because it's a perfect timing. And then we can all just start talking together about this and why it's also, I think you'll like to learn, and he's perfect to describe it in a way that we can understand.
Yeah. And I have questions for him too.
Yeah. And like why we feel all that way. So thank you so much for sharing. I relate with so much that I had lap band as well, and just recently had it removed. So I get it. Like, it's exactly right. It doesn't change here.
Your story sounds a lot like mine too. Like,
it's going to sound a lot like a lot of people's.
It's amazing. Like, just us all telling our story, you included, how seen people feel.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, cause you touched on like when you were on the show, you being on that show at the age you were and the state your body was in and stuff, I want you to know that I felt very seen because I was the same. I was like, everybody in my family were, and I've shared this on my story, everybody in my family were like easily skinny. And I was the one that was like eating all the same things and doing all the same things they were. I worked out. I played soccer my whole life. Like, but I was still like the big one. You know what I mean? Mm. And so when you were on the show, in the capacity you were, I did feel very seen. So just know that you did that for me.
I'm glad to hear that.
I know it was hard for you to go through that, but you were amazing.
Aww. Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Rosen.
Hey, Dr. Rosen, talk to us about science.
I was backstage and I was amazed by Lauren's story, and I was really touched by Lauren's story. I relate to a lot of it just from what I hear from patients. And I also personally relate to some of the Bravo stuff and feeling exploited. My wife was one of like the OGs of reality TV. I don't really, really talk about it. Yeah. She was on The Real World. She was, she actually got assaulted on The Real World. And had to leave. Her story was sort of, her storyline was manipulated. Mm-hmm. And
Do that. The network will protect themselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. And she was sort of like muscled to stay silent. And it is a big deal. I mean, it was probably 25 years ago now. But so I definitely relate to feeling like they don't necessarily have your best interest at heart, and they can break down your sense of self. And
they will destroy you. Those networks don't care. They will destroy you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I really relate to that. And your story is really, really compelling. I just want to say that. And I think your journey is so typical for a lot of people in terms of that lap band to sleeve to GLP-1.
Just like trying all the things.
Yeah. And seeing what works. I have some questions about your sleeve being so ineffective. I think that's not typical. So just some comments on your story. I have some curiosity about how big your sleeve is. You know, is it as narrow as it could be? Do you have a hiatal hernia? You know, you
that's my
so
question
much,
for you.
Right. Yeah. That's so typical. It's so
conversation
typical.
Time.
Think about a band. Let's talk about a band for a second, right? So a band is like a napkin ring, right? Everyone's eating at like a fancy restaurant. You got that napkin ring and you know how it's like narrow at on the top and then they splay out the bottom and it kind of sits there. So that's what a band is like. And it's a roadblock for things to get down. And so interesting how you learned your band so well that you knew which bite was going to be the bite that put you over the top, right?
I knew that too.
And every time you vomit, you know, every time you vomit, your abdominal walls contract really hard and your stomach contracts really hard and it pushes everything up. The food comes up and the stomach comes up and at the top of your diaphragm, which sits at the top of your abdominal cavity, that band gets pushed against the diaphragm as the stomach comes up. So that band gets sort of like pushed down. And if you think about that cloth napkin and that napkin ring, you know, sometimes when you try and pull that napkin from the top where it's narrow upwards, that napkin ring gets stuck. And that's what a slip really is, where the stomach is pushed upward and gets stuck. And you said you noticed at the pool where it had slipped. I probably had been slipping for a very long time.
Oh, I knew it was slip for a while. I was just
right.
It pretending just that
point,
I,
it hit the point of no return where it was slipped and kinked. And like at that point, you couldn't even get your saliva down. And so as that's all happening, part of your stomach is getting pushed up into your chest. And so a lot of people have a hiatal hernia, which is an opening of the diaphragm and a portion of the stomach is sitting up above. Then if that's not brought down when the band is removed or when you have a conversion to a sleeve later on, sometimes people do it all at one time. Sometimes people just take the band out and they come back another day to do the sleeve and fix the hiatal hernia. Then you have a lot of stomach above the diaphragm that was left in and wasn't trimmed off with the sleeve. And that can really impact your restriction because that's a very stretchy part. The top part of the stomach is the stretchiest part, which can accommodate the most food. So, and that would impact that feeling, not having that feeling of restriction. So I would be curious if, like, if I had my wishes, I would love to do an upper GI, see what everything looks like, do an endoscopy, see what, how
you little surgeon nerd, you.
I know.
Totally nerdy.
Listen, if you look at my TikTok that I did last night, I actually say that I'm going to go and get, and I was going to say upper GI, but I was like, no one's going to understand what I'm saying, but I'm definitely going to go and get an upper GI and I'm definitely going to go in and get an endoscopy because people, and I was excited when I heard that you were coming on because, I posted literally the day before yesterday on my TikTok. I said, you guys had, you know, my followers had said to me, you swallow weird. Like when you eat your food, it looks like you're in pain when you swallow. And they were like, and it sounds weird. And I was like, I'm not in pain when I swallow. It doesn't sound weird. And then I was recording a TikTok and I was like, it's when I eat, especially harder food, you literally hear a squeak in my esophagus when I swallow food. And it's a loud squeak. And it's on my TikTok. You could hear it. And it's, I did, then yesterday I did a video and I was like, tonight I was eating dinner and I realized it didn't hurt, but it felt like there was like a roadblock, like something in my esophagus.
And that's your brain, just so you know, that's your brain creating a sensation here. Almost definitely what's going on pathologically is right down by your diaphragm. And so a lot of times when people have a hiatal hernia, they'll feel like something's stuck in their throat, but actually things are getting like held up down there and your brain, you shouldn't have food in your esophagus. You shouldn't have food at the bottom of your esophagus. So what does your brain tell you? How does your brain get you to stop putting food in? Because it thinks the food is backed up all the way into your esophagus. So like the system's obviously overloaded if food's in the end of the esophagus. How do you get someone to stop eating and stop overloading the system? Make them feel like there's something here. You know, so your brain is creating the sensation
of
some stuff in your throat.
Good job,
even
brain.
Even though there's nothing there.
Like, I said to myself, I was like, I'm done. I don't want this.
That's why
I was like, I don't want to eat anything else. And even though like I was hungry last night, and usually I'll do like at nighttime, I'll do like a because I get paid for my TikTok views, and the ones that get the most views are the ones of me eating. So I'll usually eat a sandwich.
Last night I was like,
I'm going to order. Thank you. Listen, if I wasn't making money on it, I wouldn't be doing it. Trust me.
A little counterproductive, right?
It absolutely is. And it's not good to like form those habits either, you know? So I'm trying to like come up with new things to do. Yeah. But last night I was like, the only thing I could imagine eating is soup, because it felt like something was there. And everybody commented, they were like, go get checked. I think you have a hiatal hernia from the lap band or the sleeve, and from having all of that. Because back then my, you finished my sentence, my heartburn, my
GERD.
Yeah, reflux. I had GERD. Yeah, my acid reflux was so bad. And now it's really not that bad. But somebody said, they were like, another form of acid reflux. They're like, I notice every time after you eat anything, you clear your throat. They were like, and that definitely is acid reflux. Just because it doesn't hurt doesn't mean that it's not reflux. And I said, oh my God, I said, that's probably what it is. So I got to go. That's on my list for next week to go and make sure I get all
and
that
think check. About it. If you have a widened diaphragm opening and now your stomach underneath it is like super skinny, how much easier is it to like start traveling up through that hole? Before it used to be big and bulky, so it was sort of stuck. But now they made it like easy to start moving up. So I've seen like half.
That makes me feel a lot better, because I was worried that I had like esophagus cancer from all the throwing up from the band. So I was like terrified that I had like tumors in my esophagus or something.
It's a reasonable fear. It's a reasonable fear. And I know someone personally who passed away in his 40s after a lap band from esophageal cancer. But I don't haven't seen any data that there's any true association. So I wouldn't. Yeah. It's a normal fear, but I wouldn't put much stock in high esophageal rates after lap band. But I mean, I think there's a lot to dig into here medically.
But like, I think too,
I don't think that like the issues that, you know, like I said, the issues that I said with the lap band, I'm very open. And even with the sleeve, I'm very open and able, I'm comfortable enough with myself to say, even in the moment, that those things were my fault. You know, so me throwing up so much with the lap band, I like I said, I would make myself, I knew that it was going to come up if I had that other bite.
It's time you know to what talk I mean? Science. Before, I was can't let her take this anymore.
Before, I was going to say, Kim has talked about that too, where she could ride the lap band. Like she knew like what she could get past and what she couldn't. It's your brain. Yeah. And like, it's so glad that you touched on that in your story because that's the part you kept saying, no, I didn't have a lobotomy. Well, this medicine kind of does that, right? Like it fixes that one puzzle piece that the other things couldn't do.
Yeah.
Before.
Tell us why it does that, Dr. Rosen.
Well, first of all, we like to say it's not your fault, but it's your problem. Okay. Meaning it's on you to fix it and take care of it, but you're not broken. You're not doing anything other than following your neurochemical impulses. And to try and white knuckle it and subconsciously subvert and to consciously subvert an unconscious process is doomed for failure. You talk about how you didn't have a lobotomy. You know, the lap band doesn't change any of your GI hormones. It just, it amplifies the problem because it's a mechanical roadblock, but the rest of your stomach is saying like, where's my food? The bottom half of your stomach is saying, where's the food? The top half is stretched. So you get a sensation of discomfort that tells you to stop eating. But neurochemically, the ghrelin is not going down. Ghrelin's your hunger hormone. It's not coming down because the bottom isn't seeing the food. The end of your intestines produce GLP-1 when food gets there. Because the band is causing a holdup, the food isn't really getting and stimulating the end of the intestines to release that GLP-1. GLP-1 is what gets amplified by these shots. You know, that it's that sensation that tells you to push away from the table. And if you're eating a lot of simple carbs, if you're eating a lot of processed food, GLP-1s don't get amplified the same way. So a lap band.
That makes so much sense. I say all the time, why do us Italian girls have such a hard time losing weight? This is why, because we eat all the freaking carbs.
Right.
It's all the pastas and the breads.
Carbs get absorbed in the first third to half of the intestine. It's the protein and the fats that make it downstream to stimulate the L cells in the end of the intestines to release GLP-1 to get to your brain to tell you that you're not hungry anymore.
Wow.
So, and it's interesting with the band, I talk about how you need to wait 3 minutes to 5 minutes between each bite. because mm-hmm. even that stretch signal mm-hmm. has to get to your brain and then be processed. And so mm-hmm. the bite that makes you throw up, you know, if you're not attuned to your band yet, mm-hmm. you can easily put, you know, three or four bites after that final bite, mm-hmm. the good one. You might have two or three following after.
Oh, yeah.
That,
yeah.
And the good one hasn't even registered yet if you're eating mm-hmm. too fast. So throwing up after a band is so common because people are so used to just shoveling food in
wow.
to sort of yeah. get that sensation wow. of full, that, ah, you know, oh, yeah.
And Dr. Rosen, how do you feel about the lap band? Do you still do that surgery?
No, it was never a major part of my practice because I mm-hmm. graduated just as sleeves showed up on the scene. And okay. I was like, that's going to be my thing. You know, mm-hmm. I was like, I like the bypass. It's very complex. It has high leak rates. Mm-hmm. The sleeve is like fast and reliable, has great weight loss, better than the band, no foreign body. So I would say bands never made up more than like 5% of my practice. If someone comes in and begs for a band, like, I don't want you to cut my stomach or intestines at all, but I want a band. My friend mm-hmm. had a band. I'll say, like, just because your friend did well doesn't mean you'll do well. But yeah. but if you refuse any other bariatric surgery, then a band, you know, will help you more than nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In that situation, mm-hmm. I'll do a band. But I'll let them know that there's a 30 to 50% chance it's going to have to come out in the next 10 years, that there are chances of slips, chances of erosion.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
And you have to take very, very, you have to take very good care of it. And it's very yeah. easy mm-hmm. not to, because very when easy. It's, when you're, in my opinion, when you're having the complications, that's when you're kind of losing the most weight.
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't want to say anything because yeah. you want to keep it going. But at the end of the day, you could really,
we see that a dangerous. Lot in the GLP community too, mm-hmm. where people are like, well, I've got like the nausea and I feel so lethargic and I this and I that, but I don't want to go to my doctor because this medicine's finally fixing me.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, mm-hmm. please go to that's your doctor. When you go. Like you need, that's right. when you need to go. Right.
Yeah. A lot of times people don't eat because they don't have those signals to yeah. eat and they're losing weight and they're so happy, but they forget that you have to feed the beast. Like you have to
yeah.
power your furnace. Absolutely. You have to, your metabolism I always remind people, will just hit the floor if you don't
yeah.
keep food and calories
and protein,
good calories yeah. coming into your body.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about relief. Insulin resistance, Dr. Rosen, like what that is? And also Lauren was talking about earlier when she was posting, she was saying like, we call them GLP medications. Like, what is that? You know, what
yeah,
is,
that's a good, yeah. that, I was yeah, like, everyone's calling it GLP-1s all of a sudden. But yeah, like, but now everyone's like GLP-1. I'm like, what the fuck is a GLP-1? Yeah, yeah. I'm just a Manjaro. Or Rosa Magluta, that's what I know I'm doing. So please tell us.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned I'm on Manjaro or other semaglutide. Yeah. So semaglutide is a medication. It is sold under the brand name of Ozempic for diabetes or Wegovy for weight loss. Semaglutide is a medicine in the GLP-1 category. Tirzepatide is the newest medication in that category. Tirzepatide is sold under the brand name Mounjaro for diabetes and Zepbound now since January mm-hmm. for right. obesity. And the category of medications are called GLP-1 agonists. GLP-1 is the gut hormone that's released from the bottom of the intestine when food gets there because your body doesn't want to lose calories, right? Evolutionarily, calories are a priority and they're not readily available on every corner or in your fridge. So when you got calories and you were able to eat your full, you didn't want to overwhelm the system and lose calories into the colon and avoid the opportunity to absorb them. So when food got to the end of the intestine, your brain, your body had to say like, stop eating. And so it would send strong signals called GLP-1, which stands for glucagon-like insulinotropic polypeptide.
Oh my gosh.
But it's much easier to just say GLP-1, type 1.
Got it. I still so don't quite understand, but I don't expect myself to understand because I am like a little dense up here. So
basically, GLP-1 is just the whole GLP-1 class.
Is a hormone. Yeah. It's the whole hormone class that your intestine releases to tell got you it. To stay full. And all of these medications initiate the release of GLP-1.
Got so they're called it. GLP-1. Now I got
so
it.
So they're called GLP-1 agonists. An agonist is to cause the upregulation or release of.
Okay. So someone with like a not smart brain like mine, and I don't say that to put myself down. I know where my strong suits are and where my strong suits aren't. someone like me, I'm like, oh, what's a GLP-1? Like, is Mounjaro a GLP-1? But no, it's something that I have inside of me, and the Mounjaro is...
Mounjaro is a GLP-1 stimulator.
Yes, exactly.
But we call them GLP-1s.
Got it.
They're like synthetic versions, right? Like, isn't that what it is? Like, it's like of the hormone.
They're not synthetic versions of GLP-1. Mm-hmm. They cause those cells to release GLP-1 at a higher than normal rate. Mm-hmm. They're tricking your body into thinking you've eaten a big meal, even when you haven't eaten anything, because they're like pressing the on button on those cells to release that hormone, even though the food isn't around to stimulate them normally.
Yeah.
What's your thought on everyone talking about stomach paralysis?
Great question.
I think it's a huge red herring. If you look at the studies, the case reports, they're just case reports. One of them was a diabetic. The main cause of stomach paralysis is diabetes. Gastroparesis is what it's called. So you have a woman who is a diabetic who went on this medication, and over the course of X number of months on the medication, she was throwing up, which can be a side effect of these medications. It does slow transit in your stomach. So it initiates a kind of stomach paralysis. But almost universally, when you come off the medication, your stomach function returns to normal. So the fact that she ended up with prolonged stomach paralysis, even off the medication, you can't say that it was the medication versus her underlying diabetes, causing that stomach paralysis. I can tell you that I have hundreds and hundreds of patients on these medications, and I've never had a patient have gastroparesis.
Can the stomach paralysis be caused by people not eating, like when they're riding that food suppression really, really hard, and say like some of the people that we talked to that are like, oh, well, I'm not eating. I'm getting like 300 calories a day, 500 calories a day. Can that lead to the stomach paralysis because they're not giving themselves food?
No, I don't think so. Okay. You know, the stomach tends to contract more. What your stomach growls when you haven't eaten, like that's your stomach contracting. Functionally, it's not like it stops working from disuse. That's not really how the GI tract works. I think that people are so eager to make a causal relationship between these medications in an attempt to vilify them because it's threatening to so many people from a entrenched standard of discrimination against those who are obese to monetary issues in the diet, exercise, and food industry. That it's a big threat, and they're looking to vilify it in any way they can. So they'll grab one case
sometimes
and they'll say it's because of the Ozempic or because of the Mounjaro.
It even gets simpler than that sometimes. Like Dr. Crotty said, it threatened like people that are like naturally skinny or people that like sort of just really hit it hard in the gym all the time. It threatens their ego.
And so that's on the run.
Well, I think people that are naturally skinny, they just don't able to lose weight just by, cutting carbs or, diet and like basic diet.
There's a moral code. So
they're just kind of like, oh, just get on a treadmill. Like I had my dad had a personal trainer for me when I was all throughout high school. I mean, I used to have to and I was so disciplined that I would miss a Sweet 16 and cry while I was in the gym because my dad was like, I paid for this trainer. You're going to the trainer. You can go to Sweet 16 after. And I was working out like crazy, running 6 miles a day, and I was still overweight, and my mom would try to very kindly say to me no, you can't have the Pop-Tarts, your brothers can, but maybe we should have egg whites, but Dr. Rosen, while we still have you, I would like to ask you also, do you think it's a realistic medication to stay on forever?
Yeah. We have some data in terms of longevity on the medication.
Thank you, Kat.
That's pretty reassuring for being on the medication. First of all, it stimulates a normal peptide in your body. It's not sort of something foreign that's coming in that has a toxic effect over time. We haven't seen that. I think the biggest problem for long-term use is it just stops working. And it functions for maintenance to prevent weight regain up to a point. But to expect it to help you lose, forever until you're a normal weight, especially if you have lots and lots of weight to lose, like 150 pounds, 200 pounds, I don't think it replaces bariatric surgery in those settings. I think if someone gets down to their goal weight to be on a maintenance, we have not seen any side effects in terms of, over time it causes cancer or over time it's going to cause breakdown of your joints or anything like that. I think we'll know in time, but you have doctors who are prescribing this saying that these medications are as safe as Tylenol. These medications are as safe as Advil. People can be on it one injection per week, you know, for the long term. So we have not seen anything that says these can't be used for a long time. And the science is just evolving so rapidly. So we're going to come to a once a month shot, you know, within the next 5 years. Yeah. And there may be a transdermal patch, and the evolution in terms of understanding the GI hormones and how to tweak them. It's possible that as a surgeon, I might be out of business sometime in the next 5 or 10 years, which is
a reality. That's okay. You could just do you'll just do the other surgeries where you fix the hernias. And then just be in the office, baby. That's a good way to retire.
I mean, I love hernias.
Can you just have tummy tucks?
Lauren, yeah, there's definitely that. That's not going away. The body contouring stuff's not going away.
Of GLP-1 medications. GLP-1s combat cravings, stabilize blood sugar, boost energy, and balance A1C levels for a regulated body and a kick-started weight loss journey. Iveen makes medical weight loss accessible, affordable, and personal. Schedule a free consultation with a medical provider to explore if GLP-1 medications are the right fit for you. Goodbye restrictions. Hello, Iveen. Your path to sustainable weight loss.
Time for a change rooted in lasting, evidence-backed wellness. Say goodbye to unsustainable diet culture with Friday's Weight Management Program, a nationwide virtual care platform built to address your biology.
The reason why I started Fridays is that I noticed that patients with obesity are often improperly treated and told to eat less and move more. Well, the science is in, and we now know that obesity is a chronic medical condition like high blood pressure and diabetes, and that there are many factors, including your genetics, that play a role in the development of obesity. We understand this at Fridays, and that's why we make sure to order labs and specific medications that work with you and your biology.
We're revolutionizing weight management, steering clear of weight loss fads, and embracing a scientifically driven approach. Our program charts a path to a healthier you, leveraging evidence-based treatments, nutritional support, and a team of specialized clinicians dedicated to guiding you towards optimal health. We ensure swift appointment scheduling and provide a knowledgeable insurance team for handling prior authorizations for GLP-1 medication. Fridays will also provide safe, compounded GLP-1 medication alternatives with fair and industry-leading pricing. Our eligibility quiz will match you with the provider that corresponds with your medical needs. Go to joinfridays.com to begin your journey to a healthier you today.
You interested in understanding GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro? Then join us on the Plus Sides, Cracking the Obesity Code, the groundbreaking podcast helping people change their lives one episode at a time. The Plus Sides podcast is a disruptor. We're breaking down barriers, smashing stereotypes, and sharing inspiring stories that'll leave you feeling informed and empowered. Join us every week to learn from doctors who are specialists around GLP-1 medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, or Mounjaro. They'll provide you with science and facts to validate these incredible stories. But that's not all.
We'll also bring you the voices of the GLP-1 Mounjaro TikTok community, real people who face the challenges of obesity, related diseases and disorders, and discovered the incredible plus sides of GLP-1 medications. Our episodes are filled with heartwarming stories, laughter, and moments of triumph. You'll connect with our amazing community members who are reclaiming their health and experiencing their fullest lives. Are you ready to embark on a journey of discovery and empowerment? Tune in to the plus sides, cracking the obesity code, and together we'll change the narrative around obesity and end the stigma. Subscribe now on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform and join our incredible community. Let's celebrate the plus sides of life together, because every story deserves to be heard. Every life deserves to shine, and everyone deserves access to expert knowledge and medication. The Plus Sides Podcast. You're not alone. It's not your fault.